God sent his Son, the Son of Man, into the world not to condemn the world, but so that through him the new Adam might save us all. Christ is the new Adam who made up for the first. He emptied himself of his divinity, took upon himself our humanity, and climbed upon his throne of glory. That is the cross. Today we have the triumph of the cross, a feast day which has trumped our normal Sunday, and rightfully so. For if there's any symbol that's synonymous with being a Christian, it's the cross. And the cross for us is not gloom and doom. It was, at the time of our Lord, a form of capital punishment inflicted by the Roman army upon criminals. But for us, it's called the triumph of the cross. And our Lord referred to it as his glory. The cross, therefore, is a paradox. It's a paradox and somewhat of a mystery because sin itself is mysterious. You don't know about the human heart. We've seen that in the last week with the tragedy in Lockhart. You don't know what's going through someone's mind or what lies hidden deep within the heart. God does, we don't. So sin has always been a mystery. Who commits the sin, why, where, for what reason, how, and so forth. And therefore, the cross is somewhat mysterious. It looks gloom, it looks spiteful, bitter, and yet from it comes our salvation. Because Christ returned back to life. Our religion began in defeat on Good Friday, but within 3 days, Christ would conquer death and therefore made the cross a sign of triumph. And so too are his sacred wounds. The 5 glorious wounds in the resurrected body of Christ in heaven are signs of victory, signs of I'm the victor, I have conquered all sin, your sin, my sin, and now you can partake of my glory here in heaven. And our Lord tried to unpack all this to the night watcher. Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin. Remember, there were 2 parties back then, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They differed tremendously in what they believed and how they governed Israel. And Nicodemus was a Sadducee, and he comes at night. He only appears in the scriptures at night, and he questions the Lord. And St. John, the beloved apostle, perhaps takes the minutes of this meeting or interview. And we're told that Jesus said to this Sadducee, "No one, and I know them all as God, has gone up to heaven except me. I'm the Son of Man. I've come down from heaven. And when you see me lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent, the snake in the desert, then, you know, eternal life will begin." Now, Nicodemus would have known his scripture. He certainly knew about Moses and the serpent in the desert, but I don't think he would have put the whole thing together just yet. But he did, a few years later. For as you know, he, with Joseph of Arimathea, were at Calvary. And when our Lord was lifted up, which is well depicted by Mel Gibson in that film, The Passion, I'm sure the penny dropped in the mind of Nicodemus. What's it all about? It's called what we call allegories, or typology. Typology are events and episodes in the Old Testament, the Old Covenants, that foretell or predict Christ. For example, Moses crossing the Red Sea. Moses is the mediator. It's by crossing the sea from going through slavery to the promised land that one was saved back then. Well, that's a type of Jesus in baptism. It's by us crossing through the waters of baptism that we're taken from the slavery of sin and made heirs to the life of grace. Or Noah and the ark. That's a type or symbol of the church by which we are saved on the waters of baptism. Well, this is another type here. It's a classic type. During the covenant of Moses, when they were in the wilderness for 40 years, and they were there for so long because they were so feral in their behavior. They'd been in Egypt for 400 years. They'd almost completely eclipsed God from their lifestyle, had become utterly hedonistic, and Egyptian in their mindset, so our Lord had to cull a few generations before he could groom them for the promised land, hence the 40 years. Anyway, they were impatient, as we all would be, and bitter and cranky because they were sick and tired of being in the desert, eating manna food and whatsoever, and they whinged to God. Moses knew about the whinging and pleaded for them, but God was sick and tired of their belly aching. So he sent down fiery serpents. Don't ask me what a fiery serpent is, but anyway, fiery serpents bit them. And then, of course, Moses pleaded with God as the arbitrator or mediator, and God said, okay, all right, we'll cure these wretched people. Have a bronze snake made, put it up on a stick, stand it, so they can all look up at it. And those who look up at that bronze snake and believe shall be cured of snake bite. What a strange thing to do. What did God say to Moses? Look, get them all sitting down, have them kneel up, say a few prayers, have a blessing, and they'll be cured. No, this was a setup. It's a dress rehearsal of what would happen on Calvary. It's a type, it's an allegory hidden in the past that would be revealed through Nicodemus on Good Friday. Why? Well, I've put on the bulletin, there's 3 points to be taken down. The first is that the serpent or snake that was made of metal looked like a real serpent but wasn't. Christ looks like a human person, but he isn't. He's more than a human person. He's a divine person with a divine nature and a human nature. So he looks like he's one of us, but he's not. He's more than what we are. First point. The second point is this. There was no poison in the snake, the bronze snake. There's no poison in that bronze snake, yet it could heal God's people of poison. Christ is sinless, but heals us of sin. The third point is this. Only those who were bitten with the poison in their system and looked with faith at the bronze snake on the standard were healed. We, who are sinful only when we gaze up at Christ on Calvary, are we healed of our sins. And that's what our Lord was referring to when he spoke to Nicodemus. Remember that event in the past? Focus on that, analyze it, pull it down, and then digest it. And then, on Good Friday Calvary, when you see me lifted up, it will all make sense. What happened then was to prepare us for what's going to happen. And of course, that was Good Friday, the past. We live in the present. The cross is our means of salvation. We were saved from our sins on Calvary. But it's also the cross today that will perhaps enable us to attain our glory in heaven. Let us ask for the grace on this, the feast of the triumph of the cross, to bear our cross, be it physical, suffering, be it emotional, psychological, be it spiritual, whatever cross that we have to bear, and everyone has a cross. Sometimes we don't see their cross, but everyone has a cross. Let us ask the good Lord that we don't lean upon it as a crutch, but rather it leans upon us. And we bear it as Christ bore his cross for our sake. We bear now our cross for his sake. And he will give us the grace. Through prayer and perseverance, the cross will become our stepladder unto eternal life. Praise be Jesus Christ.